America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. Steve Taylor here. God bless you. This is the Faith and Freedom Network. We're here to just expose the light upon the darkness of this world, that there's a lot of darkness out there. Colleen, how are you doing today?
Doing well. And I was just thinking, it's hard to believe that this year is coming to an end. This is our last Faith and Freedom program for the year of 2021, and we're headed into 2022. So it's kind of a unique perspective there.
Well, that's true. And it's been quite a year, too. It's been a year of just a incredible craziness, you know, that we've seen. I guess we've probably been on the air now for about a year and a half now, probably.
Right. Yes, it has been.
Something of that nature. And so that the, 2022 is going to be like 2022. So, you know, so that I think that we're going to have some issues going on. Is 2020 was not a great year, but then 2021 was not a great year. And then 2022 promises to be just about like 2020. So unfortunately that the, we still got some power elite up there that think that they're going to go ahead and depopulate this. The depopulation, people don't realize that that's really part of the agenda. That's really, they're psychotic mass murderers ultimately. And that they have this God sort of syndrome where they think that they, the UN and the WEF have in 2023 this plan that they can have these thought leaders, that can, pursuant to the Great Reset, start running the world. Once they trample on the sovereign nations of this world, take away their sovereignty. People like Barack Obama and Bill Gates and, other stakeholders, as they call them. These guys really think that they got this mentality that these folks at the very top, there's three types of people. And we're going to do our introduction as far as who's paying for this program in a second. But there's three type of people, according to these crazies. One, you have these like demigod sort of people, like the Bill Gates and the Klaus Schwabs and the Rockefellers and all those global elites that think they're better than everybody else. Then those are the superhuman. Then you got the humans. If you look at it from a World War II sort of standpoint, you got like the Nazis, the crazies that that were under Hitler, and then you have the Europeans, the European race that were the humans, and then there was all the subhumans, the Jews and the disabled and the non-Aryan sort of folks. And that's how these guys see it in a different sort of way. They see it as the intellectual elite, the globalists, the ones that are real smart and they have all the power. And then you got the humans and then you got the subhumans. I'm not sure who the subhumans are, but I'm sure I'm one of those. Anybody that doesn't take a vaccine is definitely going to be one of the, those are the useless air breathers, the ones that that they need to get rid of that are causing problems. And everybody else, they're going to train to try to be their slaves to do their work. But that means they got to get rid of a lot of people. They're talking about billions of that's really what their plan is. That's really what their motivation is. People don't start realizing that. And that's not crazy. People say, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Well, trust me that this conspiracy is real and that they got a bunch of people up on the very top trying to do really bad things to a whole bunch of people. Again, this is the Faith and Freedom Network. If you want to hear more like this, you're going to hear it right here. You're going to hear a bunch of it because it's truth. And you're welcome to call in at 757-488. What's the number? I got rid of my calendar for the month of December already. What is the number?
5299-757-488-5299. That's the number to call in here to the studio. I'll take your call and get you on the air so that you can talk to Steve. And again, this, like he was mentioning, this program is being brought to you. We have a sponsor for it, and that's what continues to bring this program to you every Tuesday and Thursday at 12:30. It is the Alliance Legal Group, Steve's legal firm there, and they work all throughout Hampton Roads, specializing in just legal services all in general, bankruptcy. We've talked about that before. And again, if you're in need of the services, we invite you to check out debtfreeva.com. It's www.debtfreeva.com. There's a chat box there so you can ask your questions. You can set up a consultation and just get more information, because the support of the Alliance Legal Group does keep this program on the air, and so we want you to be able to support them through that. Check in and find out about the legal services if you or someone you know might need them. And just, yeah, we invite you to go to debtfreeva.com and do that. You can also call us here at the station, again, 757-488-5299, bringing you some of this information we try to get to you regarding just our current situation that we're living in. And I loved the conversation we got into a little bit on Tuesday, was about some of the end times prophecy and different things like that with numbers. Steve was stumping me with math because I'm on a Christmas vacation, didn't think I'd have to do math this time around, but it is fascinating to know the numbers there. So we'd love to hear more. I don't know what Steve has on the agenda for us today, but that's just fascinating. And if you want to find out more information, pick his brain and contact him as well.
Well, I appreciate that, Colleen. And we'll go over that again, and maybe just as a preemptory sort of way to prepare your brain going into 2022. It's probably a good thing to do. So we'll do that. Today we're going to go through also some of the dystopia that's going on as far as what the globalists and those that want to transform and reset the world paradigm to their own. We're going to go over what their plans are and what they're facing, and also what we're facing because of that. And so we're going to be talking a lot about the vaccine and the vaccine passport, vaccine IDs, the PCR test, and you know, it's unfailing, unreliability, things of that nature. And but, you know, I think it's a good thought, Colleen, as we get ready to approach. This is actually, like you said, our last program before 2022 comes upon us. And the question is that how, as Christians, do we live a life with peace? You know, let me say this, that if we looked at Paul as he was writing in the Philippians, to the Philippians to the letter to the Philippians, he had tremendous, that's the peace letter. It's full of joy, full of peace. You know, he maintains his perfect peace as he goes through. This is a prison epistle. Yet he has perfect peace, even though he's in prison. Near the end of his life, you know, he's got a perfect peace, despite the fact that he's being persecuted, despite he's in prison, despite he talks about having tremendous joy. And joy is not based upon the circumstance. It's based upon your understanding of the reality of where you're at in the circumstance. And Paul had that understanding. We have to recognize that something's changed in our spiritually in this world. I'm 57 years old. I've never seen anything close to this. I've read enough about our history as a country. Our world's never seen anything like this before. Lockdowns, shutdowns, vast amount of evidence that basically that there's folks doing this, you know, from a very bad actor sort of purpose. And so the question is how do we go into 2022 knowing that there's a plan, you know, even to depopulate us, to subjugate us, to enslave us, to do what they've done to us the last 2 years and more. If we would contemplate on the fact that we're probably only a one or a two if we look at the 7-year tribulation, and that we don't know whether we're entering it, whether we've entered it yet, whether we're going to enter it, but that we're very close. We certainly feel in the birth pains, the beginning of sorrows, you know, that it's very possible that's where we're at. If we haven't already joined the actual 7 years, which I think we could have, because we talked about that last I guess last Tuesday. And so if you have an understanding of where we're at from the annals of the Bible, if we can recognize that we're in the last chapter of the Bible, last chapter of the book, and that God's placed us here for such a time as this, and that we have a short period of time and then glory, then like Paul, that we can have joy despite the circumstances. We can recognize that we're a chosen people put into a place, just like the United States puts, commandos and people behind the enemy lines for special operations purposes. If we can recognize that that's where we're at, then giving our life for Jesus, for the cause that he's put us into, is doable. It's actually something we want to do. That's why this pre-trib rapture is such a heresy. And if you're, listen, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you that's what it is. If you believe in the pre-trib rapture, because the bottom line is we're called, the Bible says, to believe on him and to suffer also. We're getting ready to go through a very, very difficult period of time. And each successive year as we go through this process, if we have entered into that 7 year, or if we are in the beginning of sorrows and that we are entering into that period of time, is going to get worse and worse. And so if we just think, well, listen, we're all going to get transported out of here, we don't got to worry about this, well, you might have some false expectations, and that might, your expectations might cause you to say, man, this is really terrible. I can't believe God loves me so much he's letting me go through all this. You know, how is God letting his bride go through all this? You know, that's what the thought is he loves us so much, he wouldn't make us suffer. You know, my goodness, we're going to get married, you know. What a terrible bridegroom. You know, he's doing all this. He wants us to be able to suffer even as Jesus suffered for righteousness. It's a privilege and it's a calling. And so we talked about, and so if we get that understanding that maybe that's where we're at, and that we've been placed here at the very end, just like if Paul and the folks that he was hanging out with knew that they were going to be in the Bible, everybody's going to say, wow, look at this. You know, these guys really did a great job, you know, and God used them right at the very pivotal time, and they put them in this book, and it's great, and it's for eternity. You know, it'd be a little bit easier to handle maybe some of the stuff that you were going through. So if we felt the same way, that we were actually the people that they're talking about in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, in the book of all the end time prophecies, then it'd be a little bit easier to handle some of this, even if the circumstances were very bad. So what we talked about, we said, listen, from a conservative theology sort of standpoint, that, you know, whether it's from Jewish orthodoxy or whether it's from Christianity, you know, Bible, you know, theology, that we don't believe that there's been millions and millions of years. You know, we don't believe in evolution. We don't believe in, you know, trillions and trillions and Big Bang theory. No, that you take a look from Adam until the end of end of the age, it's 6,000 years. Like it or not, that's what it is. I mean, that's conservative theology. And then from that 6,000 years, that we know that don't go on Google, but, you know, go, you know, just about any place else that doesn't mask the truth, 4,000 years to Jesus' crucifixion. Then you got 2,000 years till Jesus returns. And then you got 1,000-year millennium. That's the easy way to do the seven thing. And so we know, we talked about that Jesus died, you know, we're not going to get into the different thoughts, but it's either like 3 BC or 5 BC. It has to do with the census that was taken. And it seems like, you know, it goes back to just, you can do the research, 3 to 5 BC. Then we know that in the scripture, it says Jesus, about 30 years old, began his ministry. And then about 3 years after that he was, you know, crucified. So we know that Jesus was 33 years. We know that somewhere between 3 and 5 BC that he was born. If we go with the 5 BC and we add 33 years, it comes to 28 AD. Simple math. 28 AD till now is 2028 years. That would mean that he would return on 2028. We might be wrong. It might be 2030. But still, we're talking about we're here. You know, that if you just do simple math, there's a good chance that we're here. And so if it was 2028 and this is 2021, you know, with the day left, then we got 7 years, approximately. You know, it might be 6 years and 4 months, or it might be 8 months, or it might be 7 years and 2 months. We know, whatever. But there were a very short period of time left. I think it's 2021 and 2028, and that it began on Rosh Hashanah. I can't hardly say the word, but that the beginning of the year, Yom Teruah, I believe it is, and then it's going to end on a Rosh Hashanah as well. That's like September of 2020. I don't know if that, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. We talked about 50 years being a jubilee. I believe Jesus came and died on a jubilee, and he's going to return on a jubilee. 50 years times 40, which is a very, very biblical thought as far as years, a number of testing, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in testing in the desert from Jesus. If there's 40 50s, 40 periods of 50, that's 2,000 years. Again, taken from Jesus coming to set the captives free in Isaiah, I believe it's, what is it, Isaiah 40, where he reads the scroll, till, I might be wrong on the chapter, I think it's not 40, it's, I can't say it off the top of my head, but the bottom line is 2,000 years is 50 times 40, that's 2,000 years, that gives us that 2028 general time period. Again, we looked at a couple, two, three other things, we looked at the 80-year generation thing, the fig tree parable, and that we looked at it from the standpoint of the generation of Israel being born as a nation in 1948, 80 years, 2028. A lot of things point to, we looked at the Shemitah, the 7 years, and if it was 7 years, then the year prior to the 7 years would have been 2020, a year of release. Another indication, there's lots
Steve,
of indications
that we
could
be on the line that'd like to make a comment.
Who's on the line?
We have a gentleman named Aubrey.
Oh, good. Let's get Aubrey on the phone. Aubrey, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Yeah.
It's great having you online. Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I agree with you. A lot of it is due to our teaching. I agree with you on the very beginning of your show where you said they're trying to depopulate they, meaning globalists or internationalists, and even the environmentalist groups over the years, this great reset is occurring. That is documented. Bill Gates and many of the other people involved in, you know, global type interest, and they do have their own interests, like vaccinations. He has several patents, and they've been vaccinating in Africa, killing off the population. People don't believe that. They think all this stuff is just, hey, it's going to help you. But no, I do agree with you. The 1800s, we were taught really good theology, you know, from Spurgeon all the way up to about the 30s, and then it changed. I was telling your radio screener, and since it's changed, we've been filled with Clarence Larkin information about, you know, we're going to go through a tribulation 3.5 and 3.5 good. And, you know, a lot of those teachers were being misled by people, and then they misled people. But, you know, in John, I think it's 17, Jesus didn't say he's going to take you out.
That's right. He says,
Father, he wants to keep you from the wrath. That doesn't mean you're going to be taken out. Also, I think in Daniel at the end, it says many of the saints will die at the sword, you know, to be cleansed. Nobody wants to die. I don't want to die. Nobody wants to go through suffering, but people do go through suffering. And why do we think we're any different from the disciples? When you start preaching the word, you raise the hair on people's necks, and you really, you know, ruffle their feathers.
Yeah, you know, and you're right, Aubrey. Nobody wants to die, but the truth is, I think each one of us want to show. I mean, if there's a, you know, if you've got a loved one, if you've got a spouse, if you've got a son, if you've got a father, you know, you want to show the ultimate measure of your devotion. You know, that's really great when you can do that. You know, God's allowing us an opportunity, you know, in this last period of time.
Yeah.
To show how much we believe that he's real and how worthy he is. And even up to giving what Jesus did for us, we have an opportunity to give for Jesus our lives. And so, you know, even though it's, trust me, I don't want to die. I certainly don't want to. My dad, Aubrey, you know, he went to glory about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And, you know, he got it. You know, he got cancer in the, during the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. You know, he used to say, he embraced the cancer because that's what God had given him. But, you know, his secret desire, not even secret, I think it was public. You know, he wanted to be one of those saints under the altar in chapter five, the fifth seal, excuse me, that gave their life for Jesus. You know, that the he was planning on that. He was saying, God, you know, if I got to go, you know, let me be one of those guys. And so it's a wrong theology that we've been taught that we get to escape the wrath and then not have to go through anything like this protected sort of like a privileged, you know, and then the Jews got to, it's very anti-Semitic, actually. All the Jews got to suffer. And we get, you know, because we're the chosen ones, we get it pulled out so that, you know, we don't get to suffer. And then they got to suffer because, you know, that they, you know, been a bunch of turkeys during this period of time, so they get to suffer. But that's not the way it is. The truth is we're going to have the opportunity to give that. And if the Daniel says, like you're saying, some to captivity, you know, those to captivity and some to the sword. The book of Philadelphia, yep. You know, I believe that the seven, this is kind of an aside, but that I believe that the seven churches, you know, referenced in chapter 2 and 3 are a picture of those seven seals, which are a picture of those time periods. And that church of Philadelphia, they're given the opportunity that they get raptured. I believe I'm pre-wrath. I have no idea where you're at eschatology wise, but that the, I believe that we're going to go through this tribulation, and that if those days were not shortened, then, you know, that none of us would have survived. But God's going to pull us out prior to that last period of time, but that we're going to suffer a lot, there's going to be the mark is going to be something that is going to cause us to suffer. But we're going to be able to suffer with joy. You know, we're going to be able to suffer saying, you know, God's got this and he's got a plan. He's bringing this tremendous amount of persecution, allowing Satan actually to bring a tremendous amount of persecution upon the earth so that many will turn to Jesus. And that we're part of that group of folks that are allowed to endure and suffer with them.
Well, I think also in Sardis, I'm not sure, you'd have to look this up, I'm not trying to play a theologian, but I believe the word is talking about Sardis meaning suffering, and they suffered quite a bit. I mean, look at the Middle East before we invaded Afghanistan and Iraq, and, you know, I'm for our country, I'm not trying to say anything bad. We had a strong, people don't realize, in Syria, strong Christian population. Iraq, a strong Christian population. They didn't like them, but they left them alone. Saddam Hussein even left them alone. They had their own community. Now it's almost down to just about 10% of the number that was in 2002 of Christians through Iran, Iraq. There's a great underground church in Iran. We just don't hear about it because those who are persecuting don't want us to know. And, you know, again, nobody wants to suffer, but look at all the people that have suffered in history. Fox's Book of Martyrs and, you know, the pilgrims came here. People think they came here because they were persecuted. Yeah, they're pouring molten oil down their throats and ears. And, you know, before the Dark Ages, you know, 1300s and 1400s, and I'll keep it quick. But, you know, all the Inquisitions weren't just against, like, Spain, against the Jews. It was Christians and some Muslims in there. And, again, they came here because they're being persecuted, both in England. When they went to Holland, they got persecuted, so they said, we're coming to America. They didn't want to be persecuted anymore. God makes us stronger. I don't say this as a rah-rah thing because, again, nobody wants to suffer, but I think he's trying to see how white our clothes can be because we are his bride, and he needs to know, are we devoted to him and not have an eye for the world or an eye for something else?
I mean, you're absolutely right. I believe it was Tertullian, that's hard for me to say.
Tertullian, you know,
You know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And, you know, that the, it's so true. And when you mentioned Sardis, I believe that's the fifth church in chapter 3. And if you use that,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they're called the Dead Church, and there's two reasons they call them the Dead Church. I believe that the seven churches that you see there are additional information God's given us going through each seal. And I believe that fifth church, the Sardis, parallels with that fifth seal, which is that two things going on in that fifth seal. One, you got the blood. You have those folks under the altar. Saying how long, Lord, before you avenge? A lot of people are going to die in the first 5 years, and that church is Sodom. It's called the Dead Church. There's going to be a lot of apostates. Be a lot of dead spiritually people down here on the earth.
Yeah.
There's going to be a war. There's going to be a war for those that base. And then, of course, the sixth seal. You know, that's when you have the signs in heaven, and then we have this great multitude being transported, raptured into heaven. So we don't know whether or not we've actually started this 7-year time period, but we do know this. Never in the history of mankind have we ever seen something like this. We have global mass psychosis going on. People, didn't go through,
really?
I'm glad you called, Aubrey, but if we had a chance, we'd have gone through today about how the CDC is now taking it from 5 days down to 24 hours, because that's as much as we'll tolerate as far as, this contact tracing stuff. And the reason that we have people all around wearing masks outside. Paris just apparently had an edict that you got to wear a mask outside. So you got this control thing and this mass psychosis going on, where you have this, what's that, the Stockholm syndrome, Colleen, where the captor starts liking their captive the captor and start doing the stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to impose upon us.
Oh, yeah. These guys that are in large think tanks, institutions, they thought all this out. This is definitely move society, get to the herd mentality and use a lot of psychological techniques. They used to do it. I mean, our country did it through the OSS. I think they taught us mind control and things like that. So, they're doing it in the military. They've been doing it to our enemies. They're doing it to people today. But interesting, real quick, Sardis, I think, is at the fifth seal. And ironically, those who believe you're going to be pre-tribbed out is at the fourth seal or in that area. And they say, well, you don't see Christians anymore. Well, yeah, you do. In Sardis, they're being killed. And you do see Christians under the altar, like you're saying, and so they can't be pre-tribbed out. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong theologically.
Pre-trib is pop culture. That in the West, we still have a lot of pre-trib folks, but if you actually talk to missionaries in, the Mideast, all across the world, they say, you guys still believe in pre-trib? I mean, that stuff was, underwear on the seats of the taxi cab stuff. That's silly. And so that the... But anyhow, we had 100, 150 years of that silliness going on. People are going to get real as we start going through. The big scare thing for the pre-trib folks is that they don't recognize that basically that they got to get ready. They got to get prepared to suffer. They got to get ready to do this, because things are going to get real. And it changes the way that you approach it when you recognize that you're going to be given this opportunity to suffer for Jesus' sake. We're called to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake also. Aubrey, man, it was great talking to you today. I hope you call in again. It was wonderful having you give your thoughts at this last program before the new year.
Okay, thank you for having me on.
Oh, God bless you. Hope you have a great new year. We're down to 1 minute. Wow, that was great, Colleen. Wasn't that terrific?
That was good comments here at the end of the year, for sure. It's a good way to end out our show for today.
Yep. So, folks, listen, God bless you that we're ending this year. And like I said, and you don't need to look up, because your redemption does not draw near yet. Trust me. It says after all these things, we're talking about all the things in Matthew 24, all these terrible things that are going to happen, all these difficult things. We got a little bit of time, but we got to get ready. We got to get ready. We're down to 30 seconds, Colleen tells me. So God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful new year. Stay safe. Spend it with family. Do a watch night if you got one. If not, just pray the new year in. God bless you. Colleen, have a great new year. Thank you for a great old year. Take care. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon.
have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads' hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on The Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.